Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin. We're going to start on the very last line of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, and we're going to do Lamed Hey Amud Beis today and Lamed Vav Im Yirtzeh Hashem. We're learning today Leila Nishmas Mori Berner, Moshe Ben Yom Tov Lipa. All the Neshamas we've learned for should have an Aliyah. And we are, as I said, on the very last line of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, quoting the Mishnah, Onisraf Truma V'nit Beis. If you remember, yesterday we learned the Mishnah, where we gave various examples, Nisgagel Chutz L'Tchum, if the Erev was blown outside of the Tchum, or if a pile of rubble fell on top of it, Nofal of Gal, or the case that we're now talking about, Onisraf, or the Erev was burnt, in other words, it's no longer there, or you had Truma that was there, which we said is good even for a Yisrael, although the Mishnah gave us the example of the Kohanim having Truma, and it was Nitmeis Mibod Yom, and it became Tameh before it was Shabbos. In all of these situations, the Mishnah said, Eino Erev. So the Gemara now asks, why, Lomali, why do you have to give me all these examples? Aren't they all illustrating the same principle, that if the Erev wasn't good, it wasn't able to be accessed, it wasn't there, so it's no good. Why do you have to give me multiple examples of this? So the Gemara says, Tono Nisraf, and have to tell me the case of Nisraf, return to the Omid Beis, Lahodiecha Kochod Rav Yossi, because it needed to show us the strength of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi in the Mishnah said, the Afa Gav De'eno Ba'olam Lo Mitzar. He said in the Mishnah, even though it's not in the world, it's totally destroyed, it still is a good Erev. As the Mishnah had stated, Amr Rav Yossi, Aftalmos Heyed Mishum Chamisha Zakenim Al Sofik Erev Shekosher. In a situation where you don't know when this exactly was destroyed, when did it burn up? So Rav Yossi in the Mishnah said it was good. So you need all of these cases to show us the strength of Rav Yossi's Shita, that even when it was Nisraf, in other words, it's no longer in the world right now, if you don't know whether it was Nisraf before Shabbos started or after the Ben Hashmashos, so then according to Rav Yossi, it's good. So that's why you needed this case. And why do we need the case of Truma? Tana Truma, the Nitmeis. You need the case of telling me that Truma was there and was Nitmeis. Laudicha Kochad Rav Meir. That's to show us the strength of Rav Meir's opinion, that no matter what, even though it perfectly was good at one point in time, as Rashi says, the Afogav, the Yeshna Ba'olam, it was perfectly good at one time, and it's in the world. It's right there. I see it. But since it's Tameh now, we just don't know when it became Tameh. Maybe it became Tameh before the Ben Hashmashos, and therefore it's no good. Maybe it came Tameh afterwards, and it's good. So the strength of Rav Meir's Shita is that even though it's here in the world right now, we still say it's no good. Alternatively, Rashi says, V'yish lomar, hamidena b'Ben Hashmashos al cheskasa. The Rav Meir's opinion is that you leave it in its status during the Ben Hashmashos, v'kod m'chein tahara ha'isa, and therefore one would have said that it should be good. You leave it in its chazaka being tahora, so afilu hachi lo amrina chazaka l'kula. So the Shita of Rav Meir L'chumra is to tell us that even in this situation, when you might have said you have a chazaka, you don't apply this chazaka l'kula, and he goes l'chumra to teach us that it's no good. Now, the more questions is, really? Rav Meir in our Mishnah is very strict. And that's what we're saying. We need the case of Truma v'nitmeis, l'odicha kochad Rav Meir, that he's so strict. So the more questions is, v'savar Rav Meir sveik l'chumra? Does Rav Meir really hold that in a suffix situation, you go l'chumra? After all, Vatnan, we learned in the Mishnah Mikvos the following scenario. Tomei, a person was Tomei, so he needed to go into the mikveh and immerse himself. Shiorad litzvol, he went down to the mikveh to be tovel. Now, not sure what happened. Sofik tovel, sofik lo tovel. For whatever the reason, it's not clear that he went into the mikveh or didn't go into the mikveh. Or, afilu tovel, even if he did go into the mikveh, sofik tovel bi'arboi m'sa, sofik lo tovel bi'arboi m'sa. It's not clear, did he or did he not go into a kosher mikveh. The amount of mikveh, the water that a mikveh needs, is 40 saw. And there's a question, does this mikveh originally have 40 saw or not? Likewise, v'chein shnei mikvos, there were two mikvahs there. Ba'achas yesh bar m'sa, one of them had a good kosher mikveh, 40 saw. U'be'achas, the other one, ein bar m'sa, didn't have. And he went into one of them, v'tovah, be'achas bien, v'inodeh, be'ezem yin tovah. He doesn't know which one he went into. So the Tanakama in this Mishnah Mikvos says, Sveiko Tome. In every one of these situations, the suffix situation that has arisen is going to make the person still retain his chazaka of being Tome. But the Mishnah goes on and adds, Bamedvar Mamurma, when do we say this strict opinion that Sveiko was Tome? Betumo chamura. That's only with a real da'oraisa tuma. As Rashi says, shenitmo betumo hametamoso minatora, a da'oraisa tuma. Could go, for example, be avatoma. That this person came into contact with an avatoma, so he is definitely tome. Da'oraisa. Avo betuma kala. But for the lower levels of tuma, Rashi says, this is tuma de rabbanon, he. And what are examples of this? Vezo tumas diri sofrim l'tamaos adam. What midrabanan types of tumah does a person have? Kigon ocha chatzi pras ochlin tumein. If a person were to eat a half of a pras worth of food that is tumah. And that's what the Gemara now says. That was Rashi. Now we go back to the Gemara. And the Gemara says, what are avo b'tumah kala? What are examples of this tumah kala? Kigon shochal ochlin tumein. If a person ate this ochlin tumein, machatzi pras of tumei dika food, so midirabanan, it makes the gviya, it makes the body of that person tumei. Likewise, v'shosa mashkim tumein. If a person ate mashkim tumein, he drank mashkim tumein, so too, he becomes tumei only on a dirabanan level. Or v'haba rosho v'ruba b'mayim sh'uvim. If a person immersed himself in mayim sh'uvim, he goes into his bathtub, drawn water, and he puts his head and most of his body in this type of a bathtub. So after he went to the mikveh, midrabanan, the rabbis didn't want people to think that if a person goes to the mikveh and then he takes a shower or a bath afterwards, people are going to say, well, it wasn't the mikveh that made you tar, it was the bath afterwards that made you tar. The dirty mikveh water can't make you tar, it's only the clean bath water that makes you tar. So therefore, the rabbi said, if you go to a bath after you went to the mikveh, you return to having tumah, midrabanan. Or if a person immerses himself, he has water coming on him, shloshalugim of mayim shuvim. In all of these situations, there is a rabbinical tumah that's attached now to this person, what's called a tumah kala. And now, such a person goes v'yarad litvol, and he goes down to immerse himself in a real mikvah. Safik tovah, safik lo tovah. It's not clear, did he or did he not go into the mikvah? And even if he went in, v'afilu tovah, it's a safik whether tovah b'yarbo amasaw, whether it was a kosher mikvah of arbo amasaw, safik lo tovah b'yarbo amasaw, or it wasn't a kosher mikvah of arbo amasaw. And likewise, v'chein shnei mikvos, v'yachas yesh ben arbo amasaw, v'yachas ein ben arbo amasaw, the exact same as the reisha of this Mishnah. We're now just giving all the cases with tumah kala. Or he went into one of two mikvahs. One was a kosher mikvah, one was not a kosher mikvah. One had 40 soul, one did not. And we don't know which one he went into. So in this situation, this person has rabbinical tumah, light tumah, tumah kala. And he possibly went into a mikvah that was kosher, but he possibly did not. In this situation, sveiko tahar. Others have the girsa. Rashi says sveiko tahar. This is the Tanakama, so Stam Mishnah is Rav Meir, and that's why this is an example of the Tanakama, Rav Meir, being Mekel. In Tosos, he has the girsa, tzorech lamar, Rav Meir mitar. He says beferish that the girsa here should be Rav Meir is mitar. So we see that Rav Meir, unlike our Mishnah here in Erevin, which tells us that the Truma, the Nitmeis, is coming to teach us the case of Rav Meir being Machmir and not following the Chazak of the person, in this Mishnah in Mikvos, Rav Meir is Mekel. It says by the Tumah Kala, you can assume that the person went into a kosher mikvah, even though it's a sofek, and sveiko tor. Some suggest also, as Tosus does here, that this is Rav Meir, who's holding that sofek tumah, b'shus harabim, sveiko is tohar. In any event, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. So it seems to be at odds with the opinion of Rav Meir here in Erevin. Erevin says Rav Meir is machmir, and in Mikvos, Rav Meir is mekel. So that's going to be the first question we have, Rav Meir or Rav Meir. Then we also have Rav Yossi mitame. In that Mishnah in Mikvos, Rav Yossi says no, that we presume the person is still tummy in every one of these tumah kala cases. So eventually the Gemara will have the Rav Yossi and the Rav Yossi. In our Mishnah, Rav Yossi is the Mekel one, and in Mikvos, Rav Yossi is the Machmir one. So the first thing we have to do is address how come Rav Meir in our Mishnah is Machmir and Rav Meir is Mekel in the Mishnah in Mikvos. So the Gemara answers, Kesav Rav Meir, Tchumim Daraisa Ninhu, because in regards to Tchumim, Rav Meir holds that that's a Din Daraisa, as opposed to the Tumah Kala, that's a Din Darabanan. So by a Din Daraisa, Rav Meir is Machmir. By a Din Darabanan, Rav Meir is Mekel. So the Gemara questions this, Kesav Rav Meir, Tchumim Daraisa? Does Rav Meir really hold that Tchumim is a Din Daraisa? But we're going to learn later in our Masechta, seemingly that Rav Meir holds that Tchumim is a Din Darabanan, based upon a Kula that he allows when you're dealing with Tchumim. And what is that? But now we're going to learn later in the Masechta, in Eino Yochol Avio, if a person isn't able to swallow up land in his designating how much is 2,000 amas. Now, what do you mean by this? So there are normally holes and pits along the way when you're calculating the tchum. Now, you don't have to go down into the pit and then walk up the other end. That would make your 2,000 amas a shorter distance from a horizontal point of view if you start taking into account vertical components of it. So the rule is that when you're dealing with a space, so they would measure out the tchum with a 50 amma rope. As long as you could go over the hole in the ground, the valley, the depression, the ditch, with a 50 amma rope. So you have a person standing on one side of the pit or the ditch, and the person can go to the other side, and the hole in the ground is less than 50 amma, so then you just ignore the hole in the ground, and you just go straight the horizontal distance to reach another 50 amma, another 50 amma with your 50 amma rope. However, when you're dealing with a depression, a significant valley, so then you have to go down it. And Bizu, in this situation, Amar Rav Dostoy Bar Yanai, Mishum Rav Meir, Rav Dostoy Bar Yanai said in the name of Rav Meir, that Rav Meir said, Shamati, I heard from my Rabbeim, Shemekadrin Beharim, that you are allowed to use this process called Mekadrin. Rashi says, if it's larger than 50 amas, you can't use 100 amma rope. You must use 50 amma ropes that were standardized. So therefore, if this pit, if this valley was more than 50 amma, what you had to do was something called the Mekadrin process. It's like a boring process, which means that you have two people with a 4-amma rope. And one person would hold it, the top person would hold it by his feet, and the bottom person would hold it by his heart. And this way, they would go down into the slope of the pit or the valley, and this way the person's foot would be equivalent to the other person's heart. The second person was lower down, so he's holding it up by his chest level, and the first person would be holding it at the top of the slope by his foot level, and this way you'd measure off 4 amos. And in this way, you would be able to go and calculate the 2,000 amos without just going straight down. If you took the 50 amma rope and went straight down, so you'd only go, let's say, 5 or 10 feet in the horizontal direction, and you're going 50 amma down in the vertical direction. It's a very steep slope, so you're using up a tremendous amount of your 2,000 amos just going in the vertical direction and not purely in the horizontal direction. So when you're dealing with a din d'rabbanan, you're allowed to use this Mekadrin process. And Rav Meir says, Shomati Shemekadrin Baharim, you are allowed for tchum to use this Mekadrin process. Now, if you're telling me that Rav Meir holds a tchum in his daraisa, me Mekadrin, you wouldn't be allowed to use this Mekadrin process that I just mentioned with the 4-amma rope going from the top person's foot to the bottom person's chest. We'll learn about this again on Daf Nun Ches later on if you didn't catch this fully now. You can see pictures of this over there on Daf Nun Ches in the Pirush Chai and the Illustrated Gemara. Now, if you're telling me the Rav Meir holds that Tchumim is a Din D'Oraisa, he shouldn't allow this Mekadrin. And where do we see by Din D'Oraisa that you're not allowed to use the Mekadrin process? For Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravua, that Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Baravua, that in Mekadrin, you're not allowed to use Mekadrin, this process, Lo Bari Mikla, when you're going to determine what are the city limits that the Goal Adam is not allowed to kill the Rotseach who killed by accident. If he leaves the city, the Ari Miklat, the Goal Adam can kill him. But if he stays within the city limits, the Goal Adam is not allowed to kill him. So how do you determine the city limits? Now, this din of Ari Miklat is a din deraisa. So it says you're not allowed to do this Mekadrin process for an Ari Miklat. Likewise, Lo Be'egla Rufa. Whenever they find a dead body in between two cities, they have to measure out which is the closest city. So you likewise, that's a din d'oraisa, can't use this Mekadrin process to determine which is the closer city. So by Ari Miklat and Egla Rufa, Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Baravua, you can't use the Mekadrin process because they're din d'oraisa, but Mei Shein Shel Torah. So to over here, if Rav Meir says that Tchumim is a din d'oraisa, so you shouldn't be able to use it over here too. Yet Rav Meir allows it, so how can you tell me Rav Meir says it's a d'oraisa, it must be the Rabbanon? Where it says Lokasha, Hodidei, Hodirabei. In this Mishnah later on Nun Ches, Rav Meir said this. It was said in the name of Rav Dostoy Bar Yanai Mishum Rav Meir, in the name of Rav Meir's Rebbe. He said, Shomati Shemekadrin. And therefore, that is the opinion of his Rebbeim, that by Yenisa Daraisa, you're not allowed to go do the Mekadrin process. But he himself, Rav Meir himself, holds that Tchum is the Rabbanon. And therefore, you can do the Mekadrin process. So there's no stira in Rav Meir. And Daikanami, I'll show you this is correct. Diktani, Bizu, Amar Rav Dostoy, Bar Yanai Mishum Rav Meir. Shamati, I heard from my Rebbeim, Shemekadrin Bohorim, that you're allowed to use the Mekadrin by the Tchum. So that's the opinion of his Rebbeim. I think I may have said it wrong a second ago. The opinion of his Rebbeim is that Tchum is the Rabbanon. But Rav Meir himself says that Tchum is the Araisa. And therefore, in our Mishnah, Rav Meir is Machmir because it's a Din Daraisa. Just like he personally is Machmir that you couldn't do the Mekadrin. But his Rebbe says you can do the Mekadrin. His Rebbe holds Shamati from his Rebbeim that you're allowed to do the Mekadrin because they hold that Tchum is the Rabbanon. Shema Mina, this is a good Raya. But now we still have a question. Rami Daraisa, Daraisa Rav Meir. We still have a problem in Rav Meir that he seems to be contradicting himself. What is this contradiction? It goes as follows. Ditnan, we learned in a Mishnah in Taros. Noga bi echod balayla. You have Nebuch, a person is lying in his bed sleeping, and he touches another man, and the eni yodei im chayim meis. And this other person that he touched, he doesn't know if he was alive when he touched him or he was dead when he touched him. In the morning, we find out ulamachor yishkim u'motzal meis. See that the guy's dead. So there are two people that are sleeping near each other, and when he rolled over, so Reuven touched Shimon. In the morning, he finds out that Shimon is dead. So he doesn't know. Did he touch Shimon when he was dead? And therefore, this would be a problem of Maga in Tumas Meis. Or did he touch him while he was alive? And now it's not a problem of Tumas Meis. Obviously, we're talking about there's no Ohel on top of them, or else he would be Matame through Tumas Ohel. So in this situation, the Mishnah says, Rav Meir is Matahir. Rav Meir says that the person is allowed to be Tar. We consider him Tar. This Sofek, he's still considered Tar. And V'chachamim Matamim. And the Chacham say that he's tummy in this situation. Shekol ha-tumos kishas motziyoson. That you have to look at it at the time that you find it. And right now you find the guy dead. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, the person, Reuven, who touched the dead guy, he mustama touched him when he was dead, and therefore Reuven is tameh. But Reveya says, no, you leave the chazaka, even though this is a din d'oraisa, this is Tumas Meis, which is a din d'oraisa, yet Rav Meir says you go Lakula. So here Rav Meir goes Lakula, and why in our Mishnah by Tchumim did Rav Meir, who says it's a din d'oraisa, go Lachumra? Some Rav Yirmiya, so Rav Yirmiya says, Mishnah Seinu, our Mishnah, with the case of the Erev Tchumim, was talking about Kisha Hoya. The Bach adds the word Kisha Hoya, Aleh Sheretz Kol Ben Hashmar Shos. So there was a Sheretz on top of this Kikar of Truma, the entire Ben Hashmar Shos. So at no point in time could this Kikar have been Tahar during the Ben Hashmar Shos period of time. It was therefore Tameh before Shabbos started, before the Ben Hashmar Shos period started, and therefore that's why Rav Meir says that in our case in the Mishnah, Truma V'Nitmeis is going to be Tameh. Now, Gemara says, if that's true, Ihachi, Bahal Lema Rav Yossi, Sofek Erev Kosher, would Rav Yossi in this situation say that it's a Sofek? He would also agree that it would be Tameh. Why would this be called a Sofek situation? It was Vaday, the Sheretz on the Kikar, the entire time. The Sheretz was on the Erev the entire time in the Ben HaShoshel. So not only would Rav Meir say that it should be Tameh and not usable, but so should Rav Yossi. So Gemara says, no. Rabba and Rav Yosef, both Rabba and Rav Yosef would answer this up as follows. You know what we're talking about? That there were two sets of witnesses over here. One of them said, one of the sets of witnesses said, they said that the Sheretz was on this Kikar while it was still daytime outside. And therefore, this Truma was Temeya, it's not edible, and therefore, it's not good for an Erev. But the other set of witnesses said no. The Achas Omeris, the second set of witnesses, says no. During the Ben HaShemoshel's period of time, the Sheretz wasn't on it. The Sheretz only came on it. The dead Sheretz only came on it, Misha Chashecha, after it was dark. And therefore, according to the opinion of Rav Meir, this is a Sofek in a Din D'oraisa. And as a result, Sofek D'oraisa, we go L'chumra. On the other hand, Rav Yossi in our Mishnah says no. Even though it's a Sofek D'oraisa, you have a Chazaka. The Chazaka was that the Truma was Tahora, and only at some point in time did it become Tameh. We don't know when it became Tameh, but therefore you will leave the Chazaka as it is, and you can assume that it is still Tahar. And if it was Tar, at some point during the Ben HaShemashos, that's when it's Chal, the Erev is Chal then, and therefore it is a good kosher Erev. That's the Machlokis and the Mishnah between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, but it's not a problem to say that Rav Meir holds that by a D'oraisa we're going to be Machmir. Rava uses a different teretz. Rava Mar Hosam Tre Chazaki Lakula. As Rashi explains, Gabi No Gabi Echod, Reuven touched Shimon, Afilu Ye Shnei Kite Edim, Chalukos, Achasomeris, Kodim Shinogabo Meis, Vachasomeris, Achshav Meis, even if you have the two witnesses, in the case of the dead person, two of them say that Reuven touched Shimon when he was dead, two of them say that Reuven touched Shimon while he was still alive. Havi Nami Rav Meir Mitar. Rav Meir would still be Mitar in this situation. It's still not a problem. Why is that? Because Hasam Trei Chazaki Ninu. There you have two reasons to go Tar in our case. Because we say, number one, Meis Al Cheskosko Rishon Kol Alayla V'Chai Haba. We know the guy was alive. At the start of the night, he was alive. When they went to bed, he was alive. He said goodnight. So therefore, he retains his Chazaka of being alive until we know for a fact that he's dead. And furthermore, Va'od, Hamid Nogei Al Cheskosko. Reuven was also Tar. So each of them has a chazaka that Shimon was alive and that Reuven was not Tameh. So therefore, these two chazakos can go negate the conflicting witnesses according to Rav Meir. And that's why in this case, Rav Meir would go Lakula. But Hacha, Chod Chazaka Lekula, the Gemara says. In our case with the Erevin, Mimasnisin, our Mishnah, when the Truma became Tomei, but we don't know when, you have two witnesses saying it was before Bein HaShemashos, two witnesses saying it was after the Bein HaShemashos, so it's only one Chazaka, Hava. The Ika Lemeimar, that you should say, well, the truma was tar, so leave it in this chazaka, but it's only one chazaka. The witnesses over here are stronger than the single chazaka. That's why Rav Meir goes l'chumra in our Mishnah in Erevin, but he goes l'kula when you have the two witnesses saying that Reuven touched Shimon. Two said before Shimon died, and two said after Shimon died that Reuven touched him. That's why there's a difference in these dinim. Now, we've reconciled Rav Meir of Rav Meir, but we go back to our problem. In our Mishnah, Rav Yossi was Mekel, but then we said that in the case of going down to the mikvah, Rav Yossi was Machmir. So Kasha, the Rav Yossi, the Rav Yossi. So how come that? So we have three terutzim. Amr Rav Huna Bar Chinina, Rav Huna Bar Chinina says, Shiny Tumah. By the case of the Tumah, the person going down to the mikvah, it's different. Ho v'yeshla ikar min haTorah. Since the basic din of Tumah and Tara is established as a din d'oraisa, so even though it's now a din d'rabbana, this tumah kala, nevertheless, since the root of this din is a din d'oraisa, so even though the rabbis added on additional stringencies, we don't apply the typical rule of safek d'rabbanon lakula, but since the root is a din d'oraisa, so therefore Rav Yossi was machmir over here. But the Gemara says, Shabbos nami d'oraisi. So wait a second, by tumim, the root din by tumim is also Shabbos, which is a din d'oraisa. So just like the root din by Tumah, so the Tumah d'rabbanon we're machmir on, so too, even if you want to say the Tchum is the d'rabbanon, but the root din is the d'oraisa of Shabbos. Gemara says, no, so Rav Yossi, Tchum and d'rabbanon. There is no source for Shabbos of Tchum. It's a total din d'rabbanon. And therefore, there is no root din here. While dealing with Shabbos, it's a totally separate subject, and therefore Rav Yossi says, in regards to Tchumim, one can be Meiko, and in regards to this Tumah Kala d'rabbanon, one should be Machmir, because there's a root din of Tumah d'oraisa. That's Teretz number one. Ibo Yisema, Teretz number two, we could say, Hodidei, Hodirabei. Again, Rav Yossi in one place is quoting his own opinion, and that's when we should be very strict by the din of mikvah, even by the tumah kala. And in our Mishnah, he's saying, well, my rabbis aren't so strict even when it's a din d'rabbanon. Hodirabei. He's quoting his rabbis who weren't as strict. And I'll show you that this is right. The Gemara says, Daikanami. This is, in fact, you can make a diuk, because what does it say in the Mishnah when it's giving Rav Yossi's opinion? It doesn't say this is Rav Yossi's opinion, Diktani. It says, Omer Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi said, in the name of his Rebbe, Av Talmud heyed mishum chamisha zakenim. Av Talmud said over the name of five zakenim. That's their opinion, not mine. That's their opinion. Shesofik erev kosher. That in a sofik situation, you're allowed to go lukula. And that's their opinion, but not mine. My opinion, this is expressed in mikvos, is that you have to go l'chumra, shmamina, this is a good riot. This is teretz number two. Teretz number three, Rav Amar, Hossam, Hainu time Rav Yossi. In the case of the Mishnah and Mikvos, the reason why Rav Yossi is machmir is Hamei Tomei Al-Cheskoso, because the person was Tomei, and something happened, so we don't know, was it effective, was it not effective? So you leave the Chazaka as it is. Hamei Tomei Al-Cheskoso, and you have to presume the worst, that he didn't go to a kosher mikvah. It wasn't 40 saw. He went into the one that wasn't kosher. He didn't actually get toveled. So therefore, you leave things the way they were. He was tamei beforehand, so he's tamei now. Gemara says, no, adarabba. Hamid mikvah cheskoso. The mikvah was certainly good beforehand. And only question now, did it lose some of its 40 saw? Demolo chasar. So assume that when he went in, it had 40 saw. Now it has less than 40 saw. Leave it on its original chazaka that it had 40 saw. Why are you saying, look at the person's chazaka, look at the mikvah's chazaka? Shmuel says, the mikvah shalom nimdat, because you never had a chazaka on the mikvah. We now measure it, and now it's 39 saw. We have no idea, was it ever 40 saw? So therefore, it's a safek, but it's not that it has a chazaka that once was a kosher mikvah. So that's teretz number three. Nadigmur says, Tani, we learn another braisa. Kate said, Amar Yossi, safek erev kosher, under what circumstances, such as in our Mishnah, does Rav Yossi say that if it's a suffix, whether the Erev is good or not, that it's good? So, the Braisa says, Erev bitruma. If a person made a Erev chumim with truma. Now, suffix mi ba'od yom nitmeis. We're not sure when it became tome. If it becomes tome, it's no good. But did it become tome before Shabbos? Mi ba'od yom tome. So then, it's no good. Or did it become Tomei after dark? And then it was good during the Bein HaShemashos period of time, and therefore it's a Kashura Erev Techumim. That's the question. V'chein b'peiros, the same thing happens with fruits. Sofik mibojom niskinu. These fruits, they were definitely no longer tevel. But the question was, when did they become ice tevel? Did he make them ice tevel? Did he take off trumas and nisos before Shabbos started, and therefore it's a good erev with these fruits? Or sofik mishachashecha niskinu. Or were the trumas and nisos taken off after Shabbos, so therefore during the Ben HaShemoshes period of time, it wasn't able to be eaten. It was tevel, and therefore it's not a good erev. So zehu sofik erev kosher. This is where Rav Yossi says that in these sofik situations, the erev is kosher. However, aval erev b'truma, if he took truma, that we don't know that it had a chazak of being tar. Sofik Torah, sofik tmeya. We don't know what its status was. It could be good, it could be not good. Or v'chein b'peros, sofik niskinu, sofik lo niskinu. We don't know if the peros were in fact tevel or not tevel. Then ein zeh sofik erev kosher. Here Rav Yossi would say that it's no good. Now, in the first set of cases where we had truma and we had peros, the Rav Yossi said sofik can go lakula and say that it's good. So we said the truma, we don't know when it became tame, and the tevel, the peros, we don't know when they became meusar. So why are those identical? Maishno truma, the reason why you say truma is good, because the omar hami truma chazkaso. The truma we know was definitely good. So therefore you leave it on its chazaka, and we just know it became tame, but we don't know when it became tame, so you can leave it on the chazaka. Rav Yossi says the truma is good because you leave it on the chazaka, that it was tahar, and we don't know when it became tame. Maybe it became tame after Shabbos already started, and therefore you can rely upon it. However, the Amar Haime Truma Al Cheskasa, the Imatari, because you could say it's Torah. So then by the Peros, Peros Nami, Hame Tevel Al Cheskasa. So the default position by the Peros is that it's Tevel. So if you don't know when it was Meusar, so the default position should be to leave it as Tevel. The Himalonis Kenu. And therefore, it isn't a good Erev because it didn't have Truma Semaises taken on it, off on it, and it wasn't a good Erev at the time of the Ben Hashmashos. So the two cases are incomparable. How come Rav Yossi says that they're both good? So Gemara says, no, you're right. You read it wrong. Lo tema sofik mibojom niskinu. Don't say, maybe it became meusar before the Ben HaShemoshos. Maybe it became meusar after the Ben HaShemoshos. No, that's not the way to read it. Ella, read it as follows. Ella, ema, go and say that the case is sofik mibojom nidmu. It definitely was meusar, 100%. And now some truma fell into it to make it inedible. Because in this situation, it is nidma. It is mixed. And therefore, we don't know when it became mixed. If it became mixed before Shabbos, so then it's a problem. But if it became mixed after Shabbos, so then it's no good. Now you can leave it on its chazaka that it was good, and therefore there is no problem. Rav Yossi is consistent in both of these situations. You rely upon the chazaka to let it stay good. Tosus points out, based upon Rashi, that we're actually talking about that not Truma fell into it, but that Tevel fell into it. Because if Truma fell into it, then it would be perfectly good for Kohanim. And therefore, we're talking here about Tevel fell into it. This Nidmu is different than the typical case of Nidmu, which is Truma falling into Chulin. Here we're talking about Tevel falling into Chulin. Alternatively, Tosa says that you could say that this is going according to Sumchus. It says that you can't use Truma if you're Yisrael, but Tosa doesn't like this. This is Enu Nira. The Brisa says you can use Truma, and therefore it's a Darchak to say it's only talking about a Kohen. So therefore, the first teretz that Rashi gave, Tosa prefers that we're dealing here with Chulin that got mixed in with Tevel, and not Chulin that got mixed in with Truma. Now the Gemara says, by Rav Shmuel, by Rav Yitzchak, Rav Shmuel, the son of Rav Yitzchak, asked Rav Huna the following Shaila. You had in front of him two loaves of bread. Achas, Temeya of Yachas Torah. One was a perfectly good loaf of Truma that was Tahora, and one was a Temeya loaf of Truma. Now, a Temeya loaf of Truma cannot be used for the Arab. A Tahora loaf of Truma, we said, even the Yisrael, not like Sumchus, even the Yisrael can use it. And the person said, V'amar, Eruli b'Tahora, b'chom akumhi. I want you to take the Tahora piece of Truma bread and make that for my Arab, because if he knew for certain that that was the piece, that would be a perfectly good Erev, but he doesn't know which one it is. So that's what Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak asked Rav Huna. Is this good? Mahu. Because he still can't eat it. We don't know which one it is. So if he's saying, I want the kosher one, the Tara one to be the Erev, but we don't know which one it is. So Tibayl Rav Meir, Tibayl Rav Yossi. So the question is being asked, both according to Rav Meir, who's Machmir in general, and according to Rav Yossi, who's Mekel. Tibayl Rav Meir, this goes even according to Rav Meir, because Adkan, lo kama Rav Meir hasam, Rav Meir said it on Mishnah that you can't use the Erev, that's normally the Lekha Torah, because it definitely wasn't Torah. That's definitely one piece, one kikar, that is Tmeya. And maybe that's why he says it's no good. Ha, but here, We have one good one and one bad one. Ha 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 ikah tahara. And therefore, maybe Rav Meir would say that it's good because, after all, one of them is tahara. So the question can be asked according to Rav Meir. Does he hold his default position that it's no good? Or maybe here he would say it's good because at least one of them is good. Or Dilma, according to Rav Yossi, I feel the Rav Yossi who says you can be meiko by the truma tamei when we don't know when it became tamei. Lo kamar el hosom the isa the hi tahara yadala. Because if in fact it was tahara, it's this one kikar. I know this kikar is the one that I'm using. So maybe it's tahara, and therefore I can rely upon the chazaka. However, avol hacha, in our case here, we have two. One is tahara, one is tamei. Halo yadala. He doesn't know which one he's using. So therefore, maybe even Rav Yossi, who's mekel in our mishnah, would not be mekel over here. So that's the question that Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak asked, by Rav Yitzchak asked to Rav Huna. And Rav Huna says, Amalei, Bein Rav Meir, Bein Rav Yossi, according to both of them, Bein Rav Yossi, Bein Rav Meir, Ba'inan Suda Ru'uyo Mibojom Veleka. Both of them hold that it must be edible, it must be roy at the start of the Banish Marshals. And in this situation, it's not, because one of them is and one of them isn't, and therefore you can't eat either one. And therefore, according to both of them, we paskin l'chumra that it's no good. Now they ask the following shayla. By minei Ravim Rav Nachman, Ravim asks Rav Nachman the following shayla. Kikar zu hayom chol. This kikar right now, this loaf of bread that I have over here, is a perfectly good chulindika piece of bread, and I want this to be my erev. However, l'machar kodesh, tomorrow on Shabbos, I want it to belong to hektish. Now, if it was hektish, we already said previously, you can't use that for an erev tuchumim. You only have to use your own stuff, not hektish's stuff for an erev tuchumim, because you can't eat hektish's stuff, and therefore it's not considered roy. It's not considered that it's in the same place as you. So right now, it's chol, and tomorrow he wants it to be kodesh. So that's what Rav asked Rav Nachman, is this good? The Amar, he asked the Rav Nachman, erev liv zeh. If the person said, let me use this today chol, tomorrow kodesh, piece of bread for my erev, is that good? Mahu. So Amalei, Rav Nachman tells him, yes, it's good, eruvo erev, because at the beginning of the Bein HaShmashos, it's not yet kodesh, as we'll see. It's only when it's dark does it become kodesh, so at the beginning of the Bein HaShmashos, it's good. That's when the erev is chal, it's still chulin at that point, and therefore it's a good erev. Furthermore, what about if the case was Hayom Kodesh? The person says, I want this loaf of bread to be Kodesh Friday. Olamachar Chol, I want it to be redeemed on Shabbos, so it becomes Chulin on Shabbos. So at the start of Shabbos, how do we view it? Is it considered Chol or is it considered Kodesh? If it's considered Chol, it's a good Erev. If it's considered Kodesh, it's not good. And he says, Omar, Erev Libazet. And this person goes and says, with this bread that's today Kodesh and tomorrow Chol, I want to make an Erev. Is it good or not? Mahu. So Amalei, so Rav Nachman says to him, no, in this situation it's no good. Ein eruvo erev. Now, why is there a difference? Maishna, Rav says, why in the first case, hayom chol l'morcha kodesh, it's good. And in the second case, hayom kodesh l'morcha chol, it's no good. So I've already explained it. So Rav Nachman says as follows. Amalei, l'chi techol alei kura de milcha. When you go bring me a kura's worth of salt, so then I'll give you the answer. In other words, you got to pay me. It's interesting, the word salary comes from the word sal, salt. Which is something that was very expensive in those days because they didn't have refrigeration and salt was a great preservative. So salary, salt, was the way that people would use as currency almost. And therefore, Rav Nachman playfully said to Rava, when you pay me, you give me a lot of salt, a core's worth of salt, 30 saws worth of salt, so then I'll give you the answer. But of course, he's just joking. So he says, in the first case, Hayom Chol L'Mocher Kodesh, so when does it take effect? Misvecha Nonocha Salei Kedusha. The situation here is that during the Safek Ben HaShmashos period of time, it doesn't take effect. It only take effect when it's Vaday. So therefore, during the Safek Ben HaShmashos period of time, it's not yet Kodesh, and therefore it's Chol, and therefore the Erev is Chal, and it's good. But in the other situation, Hayom Kodesh, when it's already Kodesh, and he says, tomorrow I want it to be Chol, likewise, we don't take away the Kedusha. We don't desanctify it until it's Vaday Shabbos. And therefore, at the start of Shabbos, during the Ben HaShmashos period of time, it is Kodesh, and therefore it is no good. As we said, it all depends on what is his status is during the Bein HaShmashos. We learned in another Mishnah, Tanan Hosom, in the Mishnah Nais in Tvul Yom. It's one of the Masechtos in Taharos. Login, if you have a login, it says on the bottom, this Pirsh Kadim, you have some sort of a jug or some sort of a barrel, that is a Tvul Yom. It became Tomei, it was made out of wood, Rashi says, so therefore it can become Tomei, and it becomes tar when putting it into a mikvah. So this login was immersed in the mikvah and has the status of being a Tvul Yom. Now you're not allowed to put truma inside a Tvul Yom utensil. It will become Tomei. You only have to wait till nightfall, and then the Tvul Yom becomes perfectly permissible to put truma inside of it. So you have there this jug, this kad, of a Tvul Yom status. Shemilu minachovis shel maiser tevel. And you filled it up with maiser rishon that hadn't yet been taken off from it, trumas maiser, the maiser min a maiser. So this is considered tevel. But there is no truma yet inside of it. If there were truma inside of it, even though it's a mixture, this ma'aser rishon is a mixture of tevel ma'aser rishon with the eventual truma ma'aser that will be taken off from it. But right now, in the tevel state, it isn't going to be metameh by a tful yom container. So what does he say? V'omar, harezu truma ma'aser l'shech techshach. So he says, as soon as it becomes no longer a tful yom utensil, then I want the truma ma'aser to be chal. So I'm separating now this truma ma'aser into the truma ma'aser and the rest of the ma'aser rishon. Dvarav kayomim. In this situation, it's perfectly acceptable. It doesn't yet take on the status of the truma ma'aser until nightfall. And therefore, at nightfall, the tful yom container becomes no longer a tful yom container. It's harav shemesh, and it's perfectly good to put the truma into it. However, if he said, v'im amar, irvu li bazeh, if he said, I want to use this tevel ma'aser rishon, then you had truma ma'aser taken off from it, lo amar klum. He didn't say anything because at that moment in time, I'll give you the answer now, at that moment in time, it still was tevel. And it only becomes truma ma'aser and ma'aser rishon at the conclusion of the banish mashmash period of time when Shabbos starts. And therefore, that will be the ultimate answer why it's nothing. It's not considered a good erev. So this is the statement that we learned in the Mishnah in Tvu Yom. So Rava says, Amar Rava is also merits. We see from this Mishnah, Sof Hayom Kone Eru, that the end of the Bein HaShemoshes period of time, i.e. the end of Friday, that's when an Eruv takes effect. At the end of the Sof Hayom, at the end of the Bein HaShemoshes period of time, that's called Sof Hayom, and that's when the Eruv takes effect. We turn to Yom Beis. The Yisok HaDaitoch Tchilas Hayom Kone Eruv. If you were to say that at the start of Shabbos, Misha Chashecha, that's when the Erev actually takes effect, so then why wouldn't it be good? Why wouldn't it be good? If the Erev takes effect when the Trumas Meiser has already been taken off at the start of Shabbos, so then it should be good. Bottom line is, he says, it must be that the Erev takes effect at the beginning of the Bein HaShemoshos and not at the end of the Bein HaShemoshos. Amar Papa says, that's not a raya. Afilu tema tchilas hayom kone erev. No, you could argue that it's the end of the Bein HaShemoshos period of time, right when Shabbos starts, that's actually when the Erev takes effect. Aye, what about this case? In this situation, the food has to be edible before Shabbos starts. It has to be edible on Friday for it to be a valid Erev. And since it's truma Meiser mixed in with the Meiser Rishon, and it's Tevel still at this point, it is no good. That's why it's no good. But you can't bring me a raya that an Erev Truman takes effect at the beginning of Shabbos, at the beginning of the Bein HaShemoshes period of time. Maybe, in fact, it takes effect at the end of the Bein HaShemoshes period of time, at the beginning of Shabbos Vaday. Very complicated sugya. Let's go on a little bit weiter. Next Mishnah. Masna Adam al Eruv of Omer. A person has an Eruv Techumim. He wants to extend where he can travel an extra 2,000 amos from his current focal point. He makes a new focal point and you go to 2,000 amos from there because, as we said previously, you want to go for Dvar Mitzvah, or possibly, according to some, even for Dvar Rishus. So our Mishnah tells us, Masna Adam al Eruv of Omer. A person goes and makes an Eruv as follows, with the following tonight. Imbo Nochrim Minamizroch, if the Goyim are coming from the east, and therefore I have to flee to the west, Eruvi Lamarav. I want to be able to go 4,000 Amos. Now, we're not talking about Pikuach Nefashos, or else you can just run. Not a problem. So here he says it's going to give him a hard time, and there's no Pikuach Nefashos. Maybe it just takes some money from him. And therefore, he wants to get away from them, so he makes his Eruv to the west. Now, he doesn't know when they're going to come. He doesn't know which direction they're going to come. And we say here, Rashi points out, Yesh Breira. We say here that during the Bein HaShemoshes period of time, when the Erev is taking effect, he doesn't know what's going to happen. Since this is a Din D'Rabbanan, Yesh Breira applies. And therefore, we can retroactively say, when we find out that the Goyim come from the east, he's making his Erev to the west. Vice versa. Min HaMarav, Eruv LeMizrach. If the Goyim are coming from the west, so then I'm making my Erev Tchumim to the east. In Baal Mekan Mekan, they're coming from both ways. So Lamokim Sheret Selech, then I have a fielder's choice. I can do whatever I want. And finally, Lo Bo, Lo Lekan, Lo Lekan. If they don't end up coming, so they're not ready to come in here. Then I want to stay right where I am. I didn't want to make the Erev Tchumim in a different focal point unless I had to. And if I don't have to, I don't have to. That's case number one, with the Goyim attacking. Case number two is a positive one. He wants to go to a shir in the next town, and he has to make an Erev Tchumim to get to the next town. So in Chacham in Mizrach, he doesn't know which way the Chacham is coming from. If he's going to go to the town to the east, so then he wants to make his Erev Tchumim to the east, Eruv LeMizrach. If the Talmud Chacham is coming in Amarav, so Eruv LeMarav, then he wants to go to be able to go to the west, so he makes the Erev to the west. If the two Talmidei Chacham are coming, Baal Lekan Lekan, Lamakum Sheretz Eilech, then I can pick whichever one I want to go to. Lolikan, lolikan. If no Talmud Chacham actually ends up coming, so then Harenik ben Iyer, then I don't want my Erev to change. I want my focal point to be here in the city. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Here, Rav Yehuda comments and he says, Rud Omer, im hoyo ech mihin rabo, if one of them was his Rebbe, his personal Rebbe, so then holy chel to Rebbe Mestama, he wants the one for his Rebbe to be the place that he goes, even if there's a Talmud Chacham on the other side. On the other hand, the Tanakhama disagrees with that. As we'll see, he says sometimes he won't listen to somebody other than your Rebbe. Bottom line is, the Mishnah concludes, v'mayushneim rabosav, if both of them was rabbeim, l'malkum shiyotzi elech. Even Rav Yehuda says, you can pick whichever one you want to go to. Now the Gemara starts off and says, ki yosir Rav Yitzchak, tani ifcha, kulamas nisen. When Rav Yitzchak came, he learned the exact opposite the way we just learned the Mishnah now, the gears that we have. He learned it as follows. He learned that if the Nachrim are coming from the east, you bedavka make the Erev to the east, not to the west. And if the Nachrim are coming to the west, you make it bedavka to the west. So totally backwards. What's going on? So Gemara says, Kashi Nachim Achim Nachim, and Kashi Chacham Achacham. The same thing with the Chacham. He says, the Chacham is coming from the east, you make it to the west. Now, people may have an easier time understanding. They want to go away as far as they can from where the rabbi is giving the talk, where the rabbi is giving the shir. But that's a joke. That's not what the Mishnah means. He's saying, the Mishnah is telling us, you bedavka making it the other way. So Rav Yitzchak, when he comes, so we have a problem understanding Rav Yitzchak. Kashi Nachim Achacham, why would you do it that way, different than our Mishnah? And Kashi Chacham Achacham, why would you do different than we said in the Mishnah, where you want to go towards the rabbi, and Rav Yitzchak says you want to go away from the rabbi? Shmuel says, no problem. Nachum and Nachum, Lokasha. It's easy to reconcile the two Mishnayos, the way Rav Yitzchak had it, the way we have it, because Ha Befahagbna. Befahagbna, Rashi tells us, is Gavoy Hamas. This is a tax collector. So if the tax collectors are coming, that's what our mission is talking about. And you want to go as far away as you can to the other side so they don't take inappropriate taxes from you. Again, if they're legitimate taxes, the din is you have to pay them. But here they often would go and take extraordinary high taxes from the Jewish people, inappropriately, without even authority. So therefore, you want to run away from them. That's what our mission is talking about. But Rav Yitzchak says, no. That's when the governor's coming into town, and this is your big chance to ask him for a favor. So, Bedavko, you want to know which way he's coming so you can reach him, so you make your Erev specifically towards where the Goyim are coming, because here, it's to your benefit to meet up with him. So that's why Rav Yitzchak says, you make it Bedavko to that side, as opposed to the Mishnah, where it says you're running away from them because they're tax collectors, they're marauders, and therefore you don't want to be with them. Likewise, Chacham Achacham Lokasha. Why in the Mishnah you say you make it towards the Chacham, and Rav Yitzchak says you make it away from the Chacham? Depends what type of Chacham is coming. Ha, Bemosiv Pirkei. When we're talking about in our Mishnah, that's when he's giving a shir, and you obviously want to go to the shir. Ha, Bemikrei Shema. Here he's talking about when he's just teaching young children, and you don't want to hear first grade class at Aleph Beis. He's just teaching them basic Shema. So Bivdafku, you want to go to the other side where there is a Talmud Chacham hopefully coming. So therefore, that's the difference between, in our Mishnah, you make it towards the Talmud Chacham, and Rav Yitzchak says you make it away from the person that's just learning Aleph Beis. There's an interesting Aruch here that says it's because he's coming to go and collect the fee for tutoring your kid. And that's the situation of the Mikrei Shema. So you're running away from him because you don't want to pay him. But the simple understanding is not like that. Now, the Gemara is going to continue and discuss more about Rabbi Yehuda's opinion as to why he disagreed with the Chachamim, and Mirtz Hashem will do that tomorrow. This is a good place for us to stop. With that, we conclude today's share.